Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking. And yesterday we read one of the most famous passages in the world about love, one of the most famous poems about love that you've probably heard at a wedding or two. Love is patient, love is kind. We're going to reread it today just to remind ourselves, because yesterday we kind of focused on the beginning. Today we're going to focus on the second half of this Bible passage. Here goes again.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and deliver my body over to be burned and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love doesn't seek the things of itself. Love is not quickly angry. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices together in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Because now I know in part, and I prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, then what is partial passes away. Because when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I left behind childish ways. Because now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love remain. These three, and the greatest of these is love.
Well, after all that beautiful poetry about love, Paul kind of shifts analogies now. Away from just explaining love, the importance of love, and talking a bit about the transition from childhood to adulthood, talking about maturity. And he uses this image of, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child. But as I grew up, I began to see more of the world and mature. He's talking about Christian maturity here. He's talking about how love is something that over time, people learn more and more about. They live through the challenges of loving others, even when it's hard, and they experience the love of others, even when they don't deserve it. Love is something that we all experience, even children experience it, but in its most simple form. And as we mature, as we grow, so does our understanding of love. It matures as well. What he's doing is explaining to this Christian community in Corinth that it's time for them to grow up in the faith. They've got a very simplistic, childish view of love right now. They're pursuing all kinds of passions and lusts. He's writing to a church in trouble, actually. In the rest of the letter, we see some examples of this, that he's writing to the church in Corinth because they seem to have lost touch with what the good news of Jesus is all about and how it should influence them as a community. They're having trouble in a number of areas. We can't go into them all here. But suffice it to just kind of summarize, they are acting like children in the faith. They're acting as if they've just learned about Jesus and they haven't matured at all. They haven't really changed their ways and changed their lives and behaviors. It's like they've just heard the good news, they're celebrating and reveling in it, but it hasn't really sunk in that it's going to change who they are yet. He wants them to grow up. Chief among the examples of this is going to be their lack of love. They've celebrated that, yes, Jesus loved us, but they haven't yet learned how to love others like Jesus, how to love others around them. They're still just pursuing lust. They're still just pursuing a good time and a high and a party when Paul wants them to grow up in the faith. Then he shifts to another metaphor, the metaphor of the mirror. He's saying that it's like looking at a mirror dimly right now and someday being able to see clearly in that mirror. It's just another way that he's trying to say, look, the way we see things in this world isn't always the way things really are. Part of maturing as a Christian is beginning to see the world as it really is, through God's eyes rather than our own. Paul's admitting something here, that we humans don't see everything clearly the way it is, that we need to look heavenwards, we need to look to God to show us and lead us, to guide us in this world, because we can't always see very clearly. We can't see the world as God does. But it is a process of maturing. It's not just that we don't have it together, we'll never have it together. No, he's saying that following Jesus, becoming a follower of Jesus, becoming a Christian, is a process of maturing, of seeing the world more clearly as we go through life. The ultimate goal is to someday see God face to face and see clearly then. And that'll be life in the kingdom of heaven, which is Paul's ultimate goal, is to follow Jesus to the point that he's standing looking face to face with God in the kingdom of God. That's the ultimate goal. Until then, we have to admit we don't see things the way they are. We need help. We need guidance in this life. So do others. And to tie it all together is love. See, Paul's admitting that he doesn't have it all together, that none of us can have it all together in this life, that we see dimly, that we're immature, but there is something we can do in the meantime. Before we get to the kingdom of God, we can start practicing it. And the way to practice it is to start loving others like God loved us, whose greatest example was Jesus. We'll see some of that tomorrow. But before we do, I just wanted to point out one last thing about this passage from 1 Corinthians. And it's that he shifts his focus finally from the importance of love to the permanence of love. That love is a lasting and permanent thing. No matter what we do in this life, most of the things we do are going to be transient, passing, forgotten. The one thing that lasts is love. That matters in our lives. It also matters in the Christian church. He describes the First Corinthian church as being pretty vibrant, exciting sounding place by the sounds of it. Their worship is full of people prophesying, speaking for God, speaking in tongues, languages they've never spoken, but that the Holy Spirit has allowed them to speak. There's all kinds of exciting stuff happening, and it looks like a super spiritual, amazingly holy place to be. But he wants people to remember that all this is nothing if there's no spirit of love behind it. And it seems like he's writing to the Corinthian church because there's a problem here. They seem to have caught on to the activity of being a Christian. They appear to be very holy, spiritual, worshipful, but behind the scenes they are not loving one another. There's infighting. There's adultery, there's incest, there's all kinds of awful stuff happening. And he wants them to know that all the other stuff is nothing if they can't love one another like Jesus loved them. Love is everything, and love is lasting when everything else is permanent. It is not permanent, but transient. So we'll look a little more tomorrow at how this applies to our lives. But in the meantime, here's a question to discuss with some friends, family, fellow colleagues, commuters, somebody else who you can discuss our challenges with and form a little group. Do you think we can develop this kind of lasting, eternal love on our own? Why? Why not? If not, where does this kind of love actually come from? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.